Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, want to take time to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, April 15th, 2021, and I'm continuing my very special, detailed, in-depth chronological study of the book of Revelation. I hope you have been blessed and educated with this series, and we're going to continue on looking into the future of what is the next event that God has planned for our planet. Last week, we unfolded the program and the agenda of the Antichrist, looking at Revelation chapter 6, the first two verses, the opening of the first seal. We went into great detail about that. And because there's a lot to learn and that we want to understand, I'm going to capitulate and bring a little bit more of understanding of the Antichrist agenda in this program. We're only going to do it briefly because today we're going to look at the second seal of Revelation chapter 6. And we're going to see a very incredible event called the Ezekiel 38 War. But last week, we talked about this 10-kingdom, 10-nation system that the Antichrist will come out of, that is the old revived Roman Empire, but he is going to also manage and create the revived Roman Empire, the European Union that exists today. I believe in the future will produce the little horn of Daniel chapter 7, the Antichrist. Now, what's interesting about these nations, these kingdoms, these leaders, is that God is in control of everything. He is sovereign. He is in control of history, which means the very nations that come into existence are by his plan and design. And I want us to look at how this 10-nation system evolved from how God has planned the kingdoms of this world. In Revelation chapter 17, verses 9 through 12, we're going to look at a very complex few verses of Scripture. John, as you recall, has been given this incredible vision. He has now been caught up to the third heaven. And there, the Lord is showing him things to come. And in Revelation chapter 17, verse 9, he has been given in that chapter a vision of the false church of the end times on the seven-hilled city of Rome that the Antichrist will be in charge of. And he's seen this vision of the woman on a beast. And we are given insight into what is being told here. Verse 9, this calls for wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman is seated. They are also seven kings, five of whom have fallen. One is, the other has not yet come. And when he does come, he must remain only a little while. As for the beast that was and is not, is an eighth, but it belongs to the seven, and it goes to destruction. And the ten horns that you saw are ten kings who have not yet received royal power, but they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour together with the beast. Let's unpack this. This verse of Scripture is talking about the Gentile world powers, five of whom have fallen: the Egyptian, the Assyrian, the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, and the current one, the Greek, if you will. John is recalling in this vision of five Gentile world powers. There are five that have fallen. Again, Egyptian, Assyrian, Babylonian, Medo-Persian, and Greek. And the one that is, in this verse, is the current old Roman Empire. When John is given this vision, he is under persecution on the Isle of Patmos under Domitian. The old Roman Empire is still ruling. That is the one that is. And the one not yet come will be the revived Roman Empire, which we see today, I think, part and parcel is the European Union. So this verse of Scripture is showing God's sovereign planning of these nations, the Gentile world powers, the five who have been fallen. We mentioned that. The one that is the old Roman Empire. Now, what is very important about this verse is that you will notice that the Antichrist lineage comes out of the old Roman Empire. But he will create the revived Roman Empire in the future. That's the one not yet come. And what we learn from this about the identity of the Antichrist is that he is a Gentile and not a Jewish person. So as we've looked at this scripture, we're learning about these empires, but notice he's told about the ten horns that you saw are ten kings who have not yet received royal power, but they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour together with the beast. These ten kings, which if you go to Daniel chapter 2, are the ten toes. These ten kings is the future revived Roman Empire that we're learning about, that will come on the scene, that will produce the Antichrist in the near future. Now, the church should never, ever be preoccupied with the identity of the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 makes it very clear that the Antichrist will not be revealed until we are caught up in the rapture and we're in heaven. Then the Antichrist will be revealed. And then, after the opening of the first seal, he will be unleashed and begin his program. But now today, I said all of that to say this. We are going now to Revelation chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 3 through 4, the opening of the second seal. When he opened the second seal, that is the Lamb, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth so that people should slay one another, and he was given a great sword. The opening of the second seal is going to produce turmoil and war upon the earth. The horse is bright red, and you notice here about the identity of the rider, but that rider will be ultimately the Antichrist. And there's an important thing we're going to learn about this. Number one, this horse, this rider, is permitted to take peace from the earth. Remember in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said, in answer to his disciples' questions about what are your signs, the signs of your coming, he said, don't let anyone deceive you. There will be war. Nation shall rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. We've seen that pattern throughout the centuries since Jesus says that. But in Matthew 24, he's talking specifically to Israel, to his disciples in that context, and that's when the opening of the second seal will produce the great war and the great kingdoms that are coming upon the earth. That's very important to understand. While there has been a pattern of wars and rumors of war, nation rising up against nation, kingdom after kingdom, it's in the context here of Matthew 24 that that really is taking place on the opening of the second seal. Now, what happens with the opening of the second seal? We're going to have a very important battle take place. And in order for you to understand that, you have to understand the very prophetic nature of Ezekiel chapter 38. This is a very pertinent, important portion of Scripture that coincides with the opening of the second seal. In Ezekiel 38, and by the way, read this on your own time. I'm going to touch on it here today. In Ezekiel 38, we see a coalition of 10 empires that the Antichrist will put together. And it mentions them in the setting of when Ezekiel 38 was written. But this we learn. From Noah's son Japheth came five of those empires in Ezekiel 38. Meshech, Tubal, Magog, Gomer, and Togarma. And I want to center in on Magog. In the Ezekiel 38 war to come, you will notice Magog, there is a debate on this, but I think many good scholars have made it clear that Magog is the land of Rosh, which is the root word for Russia. Japheth migrated to the northern part, and it today is known as Russia. Now, also we learn in the other empires, Meshech, Tubal, Gomer, and Togarma, they make up what is today known as modern Turkey. So what we've learned so far in Ezekiel 38, there is the land of Rosh, Russia, and Turkey. These two particular countries will formulate the king of the north, as mentioned in Daniel chapter 11. This king of the north will be led by Russia in the latter days, made up of Russia and Turkey. Now also, you will notice the other nations mentioned there, some that aren't mentioned specifically, but you can find those in Psalm 83. The king of the south will be led by Persia. Persia in the old Persian dynasty, today is modern-day Iran. And just look what happened here recently with Iran. There was a cyber attack upon Iran from Israel. They continue to enrich their uranium. They continue to fire ballistic missiles. They're doing everything to go against the agreement. They're breaking all the rules. And so I believe what we're going to see in the Ezekiel 38 war in the future is a nuclear war because of what Iran is doing to continue to enrich their uranium. Now, of course, one of their nuclear reactors suffered really serious damage, and we're going to see that this is going to perpetuate. Notice that this war in the future is going to be against Israel. Right now, Iran is enraged that the intelligence has caused a cyber attack on one of their centrifuges. So now you can see what's happening now is going to happen in the future. We have the king of the north led by Russia, Russia and Turkey, and the king of the south, Persia, Iran. It's led by Iran, and there are partners there with Iran: Saudi Arabia, Ethiopia, Somalia, Libya, Lebanon, and the Sudan. You have the king of the north and the king of the south, and these are two major powers that will come into play in the beginning of the tribulation, the first 3.5 years. You have the revived Roman Empire I just talked to you about, the European Union led by the Antichrist, and then the Ezekiel 38 coalition comprised of the king of the north led by Russia, the king of the south led by Iran. What is their major goal? To wipe Israel off the face of the map, because when we're looking here in the book of Revelation right now, our focus is not on the church. The church is in heaven. There are tribulation saints. But the focus in the book of Revelation is on Israel. And this is the major goal of these powers. You see them mentioned in Daniel chapter 11, verse 40, the king of the north and the king of the south. But what I want us to understand also, along with Ezekiel 38, is what God has said about what's going to happen at this time. It's very important what he says in Zechariah chapter 12, verses 2 through 3 in the King James Version. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. The King James says a cup of trembling for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. So God is gathering these nations for a reason. We see what God is going to do specifically when the king of the north and the king of the south invade Israel. And by the way, they invade Israel at a time when they are living and dwelling in safety. What's so interesting is under the Trump administration, under the Abraham Accords, Israel has been at peace with their neighbors. United Arab Emirates, Iran, Morocco. That's what President Trump accomplished in the Middle East. And in the future, they will be dwelling safely when this coalition comes up to invade and destroy them. But listen here, what God is going to do in Ezekiel chapters 38, verses 18 through 22. But on that day, the day that Gog shall come out against the land of Israel, declares the Lord God, my wrath will be roused in my anger. For in my jealousy and in my blazing wrath, I declare on that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. The fish of the sea and the birds of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep on the ground and all the people who are on the face of the earth shall quake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the cliffs shall fall, and every wall shall tumble to the ground. I will summon a sword against Gog on all my mountains, declares the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother. With pestilence and bloodshed, I will enter into judgment with him. And I will rain upon him and his hordes and the many people who are with him, torrential rains and hailstone, fire and sulfur. Well, once again, what we see is that God is in control. His people are being preserved and protected by Yahweh. This coalition of nations from Ezekiel 38 thinks this is the perfect time when Israel is dwelling behind walls of safety. We will conquer them and wipe them off. But God actually is inviting them. And you can see in verse 18 of Ezekiel 38, he unleashes his fury. There is earthquake and stoning in verse 20. And what God does is something very unique. He causes them to fight against each other. This Islamic horde grouped together with the Antichrist and, of course, Russia will experience God's fury, his earthquake and stoning. They begin to fight against each other. And then God rains down upon them brimstone, hailstones. Basically, God destroys this coalition. Well, what we've seen today is the opening of the second seal. We've noticed that when the second seal is opened, great war is poured out upon the earth. Revelation 6:8 says 1/4 of the earth's population is killed at this time. Great war. War and rumors of war, Jesus told his disciple. Nation rising up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And this is what is happening at that time. This coalition decides it's time to wipe Israel off the face of the map. But what happens is that God is sovereignly protecting his chosen people with his fury, with earthquake and stoning. He destroys this coalition. They are no longer able to attack Israel. Now, the Antichrist in this first 3.5 years. Remember, he came on the scene as a man of peace. He supervised the building, rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. And at an appointed time, he had committed the abomination of desolation, sat down in the temple, as I mentioned last week, and declared himself to be God. And so he began war on the Jewish people. Well, we find out that the Antichrist, his war against the Jewish people, utterly failed because God's in control. Because the focus of the book of Revelation is about God's awesome power and glory, about the greatness of God, the greatness of Jesus. And so this coalition that we see happening today with Russia rising up against the Ukraine, Israel and Iran with great tension about the nuclear program, you can see the beginnings of what is going to happen in the future. But let me ask you this. Are you prepared to face God in the future? Do you know him as your personal Lord and Savior? Jesus came that we might have life and life abundantly. Jesus died to forgive all of our guilt and shame. Have you come and confessed him as Lord and Savior? This is so important to invite him in to your heart to give you a new beginning. He will forgive all of your guilt and shame. I want you to know him personally today. After everything I've taught on, I hope that in the end, you will look at how God has mapped out the future, how he's in sovereign control, but that your life, most importantly, must be right with God. And we do it by grace through faith. Right now, I want to feature a very special song, all suited for our series on the book of Revelation. A great vocalist, here's Matthew Ward, in a song called It's All Right. That is quite an interesting song from Matthew Ward, one of the great gospel voices, and he still is today. I was actually checking out my Facebook page yesterday, and my friend Anna had published an article that just shocked me. They now want to put a microchip under our hand to track us to see if we are infected with the virus. And if we are infected with the virus, obviously they can quarantine us and vaccinate us. Folks, this is frightening. What this government has been doing for the last year frightens me. It speaks to me about what is going to happen in the end times, and I'm not an alarmist or a conspiratorialist, but listen carefully to me. This pandemic has been seized by the government to control us. Look what they did to a church in Canada, Grace Life Church. They sent out stormtrooper police officers with gas masks to shut down a church. Now they want to put a microchip underneath our hand in the name of the pandemic to see if we are testing positive for this virus. There are all kinds of rationales and reasons for doing this, but in the end, what does the Bible say? It's frightening to me. Revelation 13, you are given a mark that you must receive. You must take or you can't buy or sell. I understand there's a difference between that and the microchip, but it's just too frightening for me because it's, to me, the beginnings, the technology is the preparation for what I believe is going to happen in the future. For all of you that believe that the book of Revelation was somehow fulfilled in 70 AD as different camps of theological persuasion the preterists like to teach, sorry about that. That's impossible. 70 AD doesn't show anything about the entire earth and its population being killed. Kings of the earth, you cannot make that talk about Israel. The book of Revelation is a worldwide event. And folks, it has nothing to do with AD 70. The technology is here. The European Union is here. The strife between Israel and Iran is here. What this says to me is how beautifully written and true the Bible is. God says he knows the end from the beginning, and he has set forth the markers, the signposts for all of us to carefully read Scripture and to see what he says will happen will come to pass. Revelation, the first chapter, John is told to write the things that are, the things that will be, the things to come. And these are the things to come, and they're plain as day before our very eyes. So I hope that you're keeping track of what's going on, because what's happening in our world right now with the lawlessness, the rioting, the racial unrest, the tension between Iran and Israel, Russia, mounting forces in the Ukraine, it's very plain to see. Guess what? You and I who have trusted in Christ, we're not going to be here. We're going to be taken up and spared from the hour of trial that's going to come on this earth. I really appreciate you taking time. If you've missed any of these series on my Facebook page and on Spotify, you can catch up with what is going on as we do a chronological study through the book of Revelation. It has been a delight to teach you today. I want you to study and show yourself approved and get ready because the greatest show on the earth is coming. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining me today on The Cross in the Desert. I will see you next Monday. Have yourself a good, safe weekend.